Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 349. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me.
I don't know why I made my voice like that.
It I just, don't know either.
You started doing
You're
it,
so
it made
excited.
Me do it.
You're so excited.
I am excited.
That we're out and about. Where are we?
This is the MMA Roadshow. This is what the MMA Roadshow was all about. You see, now that Cole Coffee has relocated to the south side of town.
South side?
Now, no longer do I have to go over to his house, and he doesn't want to get out. Now, we're in a pub. We're in Sierra Gold. And this is what the MMA Roadshow is supposed to be. This is supposed to be in a bar, drinking cold beer, drinking the frosty beverages, having
extremely cold beer.
Ice on the top
There's
of
like
it.
There's like an iceberg that comes in every beer.
Shout out to Sierra Gold. Shout out to Sierra Gold. Here's what we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit. Tell what's going on.
Pull back.
Cold Coffee is with me. Somebody else is with us as well. I don't know how much he's going to be here, but hot tea. That is right. Oscar Willis from the World MMA Award nominated, The Mac Life, is with us as well. Oscar Willis, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, very much. And in fact, it is just, I believe, 1 week and 2 days before we finally see those awards come to fruition.
Oh,
finally,
can't wait.
At the ceremony where I'm sure you and I will both be warming our hands.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're probably locked for Media Source of the Year, the Mac Life.
Well,
and I've got to think Journalist of the Year. I mean, I pretty much got locked down as well. I mean,
listen, I think it's going to be a mutually beneficial night for both of us. I'm excited. I'm sure. I think the thing I'm really looking forward to is walking down the red carpet in a tuxedo, then getting to the
end.
Are
you going
to
wear a tuxedo?
I'm going to wear a fucking tuxedo, baby. Come on.
Did you wear one last time you went?
No, I wasn't nominated last time. I didn't get, well, also there was a pandemic. But
I didn't keep track. I feel like you were nominated before.
No, 2019 I was there. That was the time I snuck backstage and tried to steal one of the statues.
So you've only been nominated once?
Me personally, once.
Has it been
the
Mac
Life has been twice.
Oh, okay, okay. That's what I'm thinking. Because Mac Life.
So I'm going to walk down the red carpet. A friend of mine happens to be in town from the UK, so we're going to do it together. Then I'm going to get to the end of the carpet and then get my camera out and start interviewing the rest of the people.
Are you really?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Wow. I respect the hustle. All right, so I said I was going to peel back the curtain. Here's what I want to say. The reason you may say, well, why are you guys all together right now? Why are you guys all together? The reason is that Cole Coffee and I got to watch an episode of Pub Life.
Pub Talk. You bastard.
I mean, look, I blended them together. Pub Talk with Oscar Willis and Dan Hooker. And we got to. And I got to say, man, you know, I've seen this concept and I've seen the video, and you guys have obviously been killing it. And I'm just – what I really wanted to do was just sit in – I'm like, a concept where you get together and you drink frosty beverages and you talk about MMA. And I thought, my friend Oscar Willis has just struck upon genius here. And I really just kind of wanted to come soak it in, see how it was all done, and really try to maybe get a little inspiration for some
maybe
concepts I can do
like
moving
that.
Forward.
Maybe
you know what I mean?
I tell you, you know, until you mentioned it, I hadn't really thought about it, but I guess in a weird way, it's kind of similar to this, Jay.
There are some minor parallels here and there. But
no, not to talk about Pub Talk too much, but I'll be honest.
No,
the whole way
give it a plug.
The whole way it happened was Dan and I got on really well in Abu Dhabi. We did the 20 questions thing that I kind of do every now and again, and we got on, and I saw lots of people comment saying, oh, you guys have great chemistry, and I was like, well, I've always wanted to do a podcast or a show of some description. And I was kind of thinking about who's the right person to have in mind, because either, you know, all the fighters who are good at talking have podcasts, or perhaps someone's fallen out with all those fighters so they wouldn't appear on my channel.
Mm,
you know,
how would that happen?
I don't know who that would be. But, so it's kind of like, well, I didn't know who. And then I thought I saw these comments saying, Dan, you have great chemistry. And I was like, well, I'll ask Dan. And Dan being the kind of guy.
And
he
obviously
is,
him being stuck here in Las Vegas.
He was stuck in Vegas.
Made it a perfect time.
So I actually said to him, I was like, you know, do you want to do a show? And he went, well, I've got fuck all else to do. And that was the end of that.
That was a terrible Dan Hooker. That was like my kind of a.
Well, I apologize. But then
that was actually Mark Hunt speaking about.
Yeah. So then originally, the original plan was to have it in a podcast studio. And then I was looking around in Vegas for podcast studios. One happened to be owned by the Schmo Zone, or was held the Schmo Zone.
Right.
I thought, well, I don't want to use that one because then it will look like the same sort of podcast. But I was ringing around. And to be honest, they were just so expensive.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, I didn't want to put down the first one. They wanted a $500 deposit, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought, well, considering it's a concept that we haven't even discussed.
Yeah.
It's me and him sitting down talking. I don't know if I can make a profit for the company.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. In retrospect, now that I've seen the bar tab that you guys rack up while you're here, would it may have been a smarter investment to just go ahead and pay for the space?
I think it would have been cheaper. Yeah, I didn't even clock that. Yeah, no. But it just, I think I tried to get it done, and I just completely underestimated how busy the podcast space is. And so I tried to, it's for Thursday. Are you good for Thursday yet? And then I was like, well, I'll find somewhere, and everyone's booked up. And then I thought about, where can I get him? This place we're in right now is next to the Apex.
Sierra Gold. Shout out to the fine folks at Sierra Gold for just letting us basically be an audio video studio, production studio.
So then I asked them. They said yes. And then it became Pub Talk. It was never meant to be Pub Talk.
It was just a matter of location.
It was just meant to be a podcast. So kind of just turned out that way.
That's
so I
awesome.
Didn't necessarily rip you off entirely. It just happened to end
I
up.
I just happened like, to rip you off. I didn't mean to rip you off.
We got there in the end, but initially it wasn't a rip off.
No, in fairness, you guys are doing a totally different thing. I mean, obviously, I don't think we're the first people to ever have a frosty beverage and talk some mixed martial arts. But you guys, hey, listen, if anybody hasn't checked it out on YouTube, I mean, look, you guys are no holds barred, man. You get I think we toe the line a little bit. You know, we try to keep it a little bit wrapped around the mixed martial arts. You guys just go all off in there.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's getting worse every episode as well.
But I mean, part of that, I think, too, is because you guys are getting
chummier.
Chummier, exactly. You guys are getting more at ease that you kind of you're able to go further in the bucket, you know, and grab something out, and because you know that he's going to he just takes it in stride. He is literally probably one of the best guys you could have chose for it. I mean, we've said that before time and time again. A lot of times, even when you get these fighters in an interview, or we're like, here, we want to do an idea with you, just say this and do this and kind of jump into this role, and we expect them to be like stars in front of the camera. And that's not – it's not easy for a lot of these athletes to do. And he does it so very, very well, and he does it very at ease, you know. And you could tell that the camaraderie between the two of you makes it easier for him.
It's funny because anytime I'll praise Dan Hooker now, it's going to sound completely biased, right? But the fact of the matter is Dan and I do not talk until – he arrives here, we put the mic on. That's the first time we talk. We don't talk afterwards. So we actually don't really have that sense of – it's not. I wouldn't say he's like we're friends. I think we're friendly, and I really like the guy. But it's not like we talk about each other's personal lives or anything like that. So it's funny because I remember the first couple of episodes, he did hold back on the drunk stories, and then I think he got a bit more comfortable. And now after today, I think maybe – we should probably go back to the way we were the first
thing. There's your preview for episode number 4.
I have to trim some things.
Yeah, anyway, thank you for the plug. Let's move on with the Frosty Beverage, the original.
All good, man. Happy to see what you're doing. Yeah, in fact, it's a strange sight. Like, we're the ones just kind of hanging out right now.
Yeah.
And Hati's the one over here grinding. He had to stop editing right there to actually just shout out for a little bit. So props to what you guys are doing. Obviously, maybe a new franchise that'll be around for the time being. So it's fun for us to hang out, man. It's good. Dude, look, the first week of you being on the South Side and we're all hanging out together.
I know. I
told you you'd love this part of town.
It is. It's growing on me. Even last night, driving down Rainbow and just seeing – I had to, like, stop myself from staring off to the side to try to take in all the different places, try to do a mental Rolodex of, oh, I want to go there. Oh, I want to go there. To peel the curtain, I've eaten dinner at the same place 3 nights in a row, and I'm not going
to
lie. I might
go
back there later.
Bro, you go to the same place all the time? How lame of you.
I know. How ridiculous is that? If anybody else did this, I would think, what's wrong with this person? You know, but, you know, I do.
I think I'm running my Buffalo Wild Wings on the way home. I know you
will. Every time I try to get Morgan to come out of the house, I'm like, hey, you can come by and swing by the house, and you know you can always stop by B-Dubs on the way home.
Okay, I could do that.
You could.
That's basically what gets me to go out.
I know, right? I honestly, every time when I've been driving down the street, last night or yesterday, I had a moment where I was like, I think I can move, like, to this area. I think I could stay in this area.
South Side.
You know, because at some point I'm renting – but right now, I want to, you know, just down the line, at some point, I am going to try to buy. I'm going to do whatever.
Of
but
course.
It's like, I like this area. I do like this Tell area. Me. I mean, there's definitely pockets. I mean, like, granted, the price in Vegas everywhere has blown up. And I've seen some really, really nice houses over here.
Used to be cheap to move here, and it's not anymore.
Yeah. I mean, even the place that I'm staying now, the value now from when these people bought it, it's almost tripled.
It's amazing.
You know, it's almost tripled. I've guaranteed they have. It's not like they added a
nah.
something in the backyard.
Same
or
thing
or
happened
whatever,
to Miles. Same thing
know?
Happened to Miles.
But I do like this area. So I will say I am a proud new member to the South Side of town. Not as far south as yours, you know. But
I'm still in the outskirts. You're still I'm in five the outskirts. Minutes further south.
but no, it is good. I am enjoying this, and I'm telling you, it doesn't hurt to be 4 minutes from the apex.
Not bad at all. We just wrapped up media day, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with the expansive grounds of the Costa de Cold Coffee. I miss the staff over there.
Well, you know, they've been transplanted. They're slowly getting
once they get it all prepared. I promised the staff. They asked me, said, "Look, don't come over until we've got it all done." They're like, you know, our boss wouldn't be happy if he
That's
knew
true.
That you saw the property when it wasn't in its full setting.
It's gotta be ship shape.
And I told him, "Look, I am not gonna risk your guys' positions with Cold Coffee. I understand what a lucrative career this is.
Highly
working
lucrative.
Underneath Cold Coffee.
Highly
and so
lucrative.
I didn't want to do that. So listen, real quick. I mean, we won't spend too much time on it, but I did have. I'm bothering hot tea again, but I did want to ask. If everybody's Thanksgiving was good. And I did kind of wonder what it's like for hot tea to be a foreigner in a very completely American holiday. Like, what do you do on a holiday that
what
literally
did you do on if, Thanksgiving?
Like literally has no meaning to you whatsoever?
Well, I'm happy to tell you, as a blissfully unaware foreigner, on Thanksgiving I did pub talk here. And then I thought, I've got a weekend off. I got a weekend off. I can't believe it. And it was the first time I think we've had a weekend off since.
Oh yeah.
When?
It's forever.
June?
Yeah. And
maybe.
you might have covered a boxing event that week.
honest to God, I think it's.
I think
it's,
you probably did.
Yeah.
Glutton for punishment.
I don't remember the last time I had a Saturday off. So yeah. So that was Thursday. So I drank, and then.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do Friday?
Well, so I went out until 7:30 a.m. on Thursday.
Good night.
Fell asleep. Woke up at 4 p.m. on Friday and thought,
solid.
Well, we're here now. So I just carried on drinking again.
Yeah.
Went to sleep again, similar sort of time. Woke up. Basically, rinse and repeat
this
that.
This would be
until,
Saturday, man.
rinse and repeat that. So I drank from, disgustingly rather, drank from Thursday to Monday morning. And...
That is impressive.
I mean, I'll be honest.
But you look no
that
worse
is impressive.
For wear.
I'll be honest. I tell you what, it didn't feel fucking impressive on Monday, but I'll tell you now, I've had a few of these frosty beverages with the boys. I feel like maybe there's another one coming up.
I mean, there's nothing to
pub
there's
talk.
No there's no UFC tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is
right.
Clean.
It's like a day off.
You know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I guess, you know, I don't want to – I want to keep the mood light and jovial.
Yeah.
We're recording a little bit early because Cold Coffee has some family business
yes,
to tend to. And we won't go too deep into that because I don't want to make you delve into it. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You know, for you know, 349 consecutive Thursdays,
yeah,
we've done the MMA Roadshow. But let's remember, 349 Thursdays ago, there was not early weigh-ins.
No.
I'm kind of thinking Wednesday nights might not be a bad alternative. Wrap up the media days, come over here.
I mean, when it started, I mean, this was coming out later on Fridays. It was like Friday nights.
Yes, because we were sleeping in.
Yeah. But then we were like, okay, well, we have to get up. And I was like, well, then we justified and we said, well, our European folks, our people, and wherever in the world, you know,
right.
Let's give it to our Australian people early.
Right.
Let's do all these things. Let's do it early. I have no problem switching it. It's just, it makes for a long day, like if we have the media day, but honestly it's not a big deal if we did, because on some of these things, I mean, to give us our, I guess, our Thursdays sort of off,
yeah,
or whatever.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
see
I'm not
saying?
Opposed to
might
it.
Be something to talk about. So, you know, if you're a long-time listener to the MMA Roadshow and you want to chime in, hit me up on social media. If that would totally screw
or,
up your routine,
yeah, Patreon,
let me know.
Put it to a Patreon vote.
Yeah, to be honest with you, that's the people that matter.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
the
like,
no disrespect to everybody else. You all matter. If you
everybody
listen,
matters,
if you
obviously.
Listen, you all matter. But, I mean, the folks over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, they're the one calling the shot. And, you know, look, they might want a little
Wednesday.
Bit of space in between the full episode and the and a half episode
yep,
that they're getting
yep,
every
yep.
Saturday night. You know, it'll give a little more space, a little more time for the episode to breathe.
Don't forget, guys, press conferences are on Thursdays, though.
Yeah, but, it's still,
doing before.
But still that but, would just be press conference and then done.
I mean, aren't we – I hate to say this.
I'm not opposed.
The press conferences have kind of lost – I love being there, but I feel like the value of what we get there is sometimes
well, especially
not
when
great.
They still put on a media day and then they choose to put a press conference. I mean, it's
and
one thing,
only,
I guess,
and that's
they
only
hold
the
off.
Pay-per-view weeks. That's only the pay-per-view
yeah.
weeks.
I think it depends, right, because there's – for example, next Thursday we'll get Oliveira Dustin Poirier's presser. If we had had Leon and Masvidal at that presser,
that would be something.
There's something. I think we can all be
You're
fair.
Expecting the fire from Oliveira and Poirier.
I think we can assume that Dustin and Charles are going to be pretty
be like,
cordial.
Can you believe that Charles Oliveira called Dustin Poirier's wife a bitch today at the press conference?
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to get that. But then for the ones you get of those, every so often you get an Izzy Vittori.
Those
are absolute fucking gold.
That is true.
I mean, you never know. I mean, watch old Charlie Oliveira pull something out of the hat and get a little chippy this time around. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. I mean, these guys, as cordial as they are champions. They all want to win.
It's an amazing
You never
fight.
Know what's going to come out. I think that fight is fantastic.
I cannot wait for that fight.
You know,
I can't wait for that fight.
I mean, it's one of those things that both guys can be very, very cordial, but also both of them have hearts of lions, and both hearts of just what they've pushed through to get to this point. And if somebody just happens to say a little something, I think sometimes they almost get a chip on their shoulder, like, you know, hey, I'm being cordial. It doesn't mean I'm taking this guy lightly or that I'm going to go in there and not go hard on this guy. And I feel like sometimes every once in a while somebody gets a little chippy because they're like, don't play me like I'm a nice guy. I mean, I can be nice.
Feel a little offended.
But I'm not a nice guy.
Hey, you know what? So, obviously, you were helping tape Spinning Back Click this week. So, you saw this discussion. And, Hati, if you can weigh on in this, do. If not, I completely understand why. But here's what I want to throw out there. And we'll talk about this week's card, of course, because it's a damn good card. But I am so fired up by this lightweight title fight next week at UFC 269. But, so, obviously, Conor McGregor said, look, when I come back, I'm fighting for the title. And I think we've all said, well, of course that is possible, is whether you think he deserves it or not. He is Conor McGregor. He's the biggest star in the sport. And so we were talking about it on Spinning Back. Like, could that really happen, right? And I think everybody kind of leaned to the idea that – and it was my initial thought as well, right? If it's going to happen, it has to be because Dustin Poirier beats Charlie Oliveira. That's got to be step number one, right? That's got to be step number one because you need the belt to be on Poirier to make the interest in the fight, right? But it did get me thinking a little bit as we were talking about it. Do you think maybe even Poirier's to a point where, like, Conor comes back and he almost wants to go, no, you're not calling the shots, bro. I'm not fighting you. I've already done everything you want to do. I'm not doing it. Would Conor almost be better off if Charles Oliveira wins the belt? Because Charles Oliveira has never I mean, I'm sure this is going to be a nice paycheck with Poirier.
Right.
But he's never tasted money like that money that would come with Conor McGregor. And I wonder if Charles Oliveira would be like, I don't care if you're 0-10 in your last fights, bro. Do you want to fight for the lightweight title? Yes, sir. I will fight you right now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. If they put it up to the champ and let the champ actually decide, if Oliveira wins, Oliveira would never turn down that fight.
Right?
You know, but if Dustin was able to get the belt and does get it, of course he's going to take that fight.
You don't think he'd even
because, I mean, the dollar value is just different. As much as the bullcrap that a Conor fight week brings, because the last Conor that we saw was just rude and it was just kind of a dick.
It wasn't the cordial Conor,
which I really loved that fight week. Others maybe said whatever. I loved Conor that fight week. I thought it was fantastic. I love the camaraderie. I love that they're both doing the benefits and the charity and this and that. And then it went out and it was a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second fight happened. It was all chippy. And then he was all like, I didn't lose. My leg broke. You know, which was just so asinine, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Nobody else has ever said, hey, I had a break. Well, you know, obviously at this point, you know, certain members at the table will disagree. I mean, but it's like we've never had other people ever, you know, blame a break and say, no, my leg broke, but it wasn't because of you. You know, you're in a fight with somebody. Everything that happens against you is your opponent's, you know, is credit to your opponent. If you weren't in a fight, that leg wouldn't have broke. That ankle wouldn't have broke.
Right.
If you went in, just like we'd said before, if you knew you had possibility that you had breaks or if you had stress fractures or something, don't go in the fight or just be willing to accept whatever. Don't make any excuses after the fact. But as for Dustin's side, that money's the best that's ever been for him.
True.
I mean, it would be like saying, yeah, you know, because then at that point, I think there's still –
But isn't that, wouldn't that be like a Dustin flex to be like – Dude,
I mean, let's be real.
Played your games.
But Conor was hitting well. That was not a one-sided fight by any means.
A lot of this answer comes in on when, let's say, Dustin. I assume Dustin's contract's pretty decent right now.
I imagine so.
I'm sure there was a lot of work to get there, but it's
I'm sure it's better.
It's better, right? But I would imagine that when he gets, let's say he's getting a slice of pay-per-view for this fight. I imagine when you get the check for that one versus the check for the what, 1.7 and the 1.5, 1.6 one before that, compare that to, and I'm not like a pay-per-view expert here, but let's say really, I think quite generously, this does 500K. I think that's pretty generous without Masvidal Edwards. If they had got Hamza on it, I think it would have boosted it.
Because that's the problem with like Nunes and Shevchenko title fights, yeah, right? Everybody thinks like, oh, I don't want to have
it. It's not going
to
draw it. So I think you can maybe think like, oh, I don't need to fight that guy again. I'm calling the shots now. But when you get that check and it's, I mean, probably a probably multitude of millions different.
Yeah.
I think that probably would make your next call pretty different.
You don't need to prove your point at that yeah. point. Like,
it's just like, well, you know, I can prove it again. You know, you know, you can feel the.
But this is the last time, Connor. I'm just telling you, this is the last time.
I don't know. And as for Charles Oliveira, that's funny. I hadn't actually thought about what that would. Maybe because I'm picking Poirier
sure.
in that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hadn't really thought about that. But man, again.
Like Charles Oliveira is not going to say you don't deserve it. Charles Oliveira is just going
to
say, again, come
Connor
to
knows.
Papa.
Connor would
Papa.
Have to bring everything. I mean, like, it'd be easy to say who would be the A side on that. But any promotion, any whatever, it would be completely from Connor's side.
Of course.
Side.
Yeah,
or at least if Dustin comes.
He's done it before. He did it with Aldo. And he did the best promotion
but that was
I've ever
Aldo,
seen in my
but
life.
That was Aldo. Aldo brought eyeballs on his own. Like, Aldo eyeballs and Oliveira eyeballs are night and day.
I think Aldo brought respect, but I don't know that he brought buys.
You could argue this way.
But I mean, like, people wanted to see Connor go beat the guy that nobody could beat.
But
Oliveira's
no,
not that dude.
You could also mean? Argue now that Kenny's own Connor's own star power has now grown so much so that any sort of lesser thing that Aldo not involved has caused,
yeah.
Connor's star power is. Connor's star power.
In fairness, Kenny's star power has grown quite strong as well. I mean, the guy
is huge.
I mean, I was thinking this earlier. I don't know why, but earlier today, don't underestimate it, man. Like Canelo Alvarez just did the pay per view of his life against Caleb Plant. With the UFC on the same night, and he did, I think, 800,000
right.
buys. That's a lot of buys. Connor hasn't done under a million in like 5 years or something insane.
Yeah.
You know, his star power is rivaled.
It's off the charts.
Rivaled probably only by Floyd in combat sports, realistically. So I think don't underestimate just the attraction of let's get some people around and watch a Connor fight. You know, I think that's he's transcended.
No, I completely
sports.
Agree. Listen, I know people think it's crazy, but I do.
And
see
I know that's coming from me.
No,
all,
of course, but you're being honest with it. I mean, I know that people think it's crazy. I mean, look, there's a whole thing. If you want to say, does his record deserve it? No, I'm not going to support that and say that he deserves it. But is it completely possible that he walks back in and does it? Yeah. And again, I think the only way it wouldn't is if the champion was just so steadfastly against it that whoever the champion was like, absolutely not. There's no way that guy doesn't deserve it. But I definitely don't think Oliveira would do it. And I think you guys make a good case that Poirier wouldn't as well. So we'll see how it plays out at UFC 269. Hey, I do want to ask, did anybody else I guess it sounds like Hot T wasn't sober enough to do anything. I don't know, but did anybody else do the Triad Combat over the weekend?
I did watch it.
Oh, you checked it out?
I wasn't
no,
very
I
sober
not.
While I was doing it, but I did.
I did
watch
not.
It.
I did not.
You didn't
I saw. No. I the only clip I saw was the GIF of Frank Mir doing
the
wobbly stanky.
No,
legs.
The inventor said it's a GIF. The inventor said it. The guy that made the platform says it's a GIF.
Well,
yeah. I read that somewhere.
I don't
so
give
it's
a
clearly
shit
true.
What he says.
But
it's
I think it should
GIF.
Be GIF.
It's
I think
not
it
a
should
GIF.
Be GIF.
It's a GIF.
It's a GIF. But so you check that. Well, what did you? I don't want to spend a bunch of time on it, but I gotta say, okay, now twofold here. Maybe it's the fact that I wasn't working it. Like I was literally just having frosty beverages
I
as
wasn't
well.
Working it either.
So I wasn't having to report anything. I wasn't having to tweet. Like I was literally just watching. But I gotta be honest with you, I kind of enjoyed the show, man. I didn't hate it at all. If tonight I went home and there was a Triller Triad Combat on, is that Metallica right
there?
Thank you, Sierra Gold. Production value is amazing here. They're throwing a little Metallica to go with this. I don't know, man. I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed the show. Now, the second caveat being, I don't know how much longer they can do shows like that. I mean, I don't know how deep their pockets are. I don't know what their finances are or whatever. But, I mean, just from a tuning in and did I get my entertainment's value worth, I thought it was fun.
I enjoyed it for what it is. I enjoyed it for the new concept that it is. And you kind of have to take that into consideration, right? It's not like a great sporting event that I'm watching. I'm not tuning in for the 100-meter gold.
Right.
So I think if you go in there with that, like,
I'm just here to watch the show, right?
I've had a few beers, and I'm ready to watch someone get smacked up. I did think it was interesting. I thought it was interesting. It's not quite the hybrid I think anyone really imagines when they think of MMA versus boxing as a hybrid. It's really not that. It's what it is. It's basically bare knuckle FC with gloves.
Right.
That's basically what it is. The rules are the same. Punch and you can clinch.
Yeah.
I thought Mike Perry did great. I thought that was an interesting MMA versus boxer fight where Mike Perry swarmed him, and at the end of the round, the boxer would land cleaner shots.
Yeah,
but Mike Perry did enough to win. Frank Mir versus a guy whose last fight was against Anthony Joshua.
And I love Frank Mir time. That was bad matchmaking.
Yeah, I mean, he last fought Joshua.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that uncompetitive.
Yep.
So that kind of looked how I thought it was going to look, and that sucked. Do I think it has legs? No, but Triller lasted longer than I thought they were going to anyway, because apparently Ryan Kavanagh... Also, not to go on a tangent, Ryan Kavanagh's weird entire segment dedicated to Dana White.
That's bizarre.
It's a bit ex-girlfriend energy.
I think here's what's going to... And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I have not followed Triller enough to know who's actually doing their matchmaking. Here's the thing is, if you told me tomorrow, hey, guys, you guys are off. There's a Triller Triad Combat on... But it was names I didn't know. I'm not attracted to the sport so much where I'm like, dude, I got to watch this content. But they had – I was excited to watch Tumanoff in there, man. I'm a big Tumanoff fan. They had in there – Mike Perry was a great name. Frank Mir was bad matchmaking, but he was there. Mitrione. I think they did a good job of getting the right names, right? So, if they could do that, I'd tune in again. But if it's just – hey, we got this boxer against this dude off the streets or whatever. I'm not tuning in.
I would argue this. At this point, Triller's name in combat sports does more harm to Triad Combat than it does good. I know it's their concept, but I think when you see Triller attached to anything, you think, oh, Bush League, insane, just crazy weird.
Do we know who does the matchmaking? Who figures all their matchmaking out? I don't think I've ever heard it published or talked about.
I mean, they're basically, even to this day, are they not something of a mystery and an anonymity? They just show up, they pay, according to Frank Mir, exorbitant amounts of money for what you had to assume must have hemorrhaged cash.
Dude, it had to have. It has to be money laundering. I don't know another way to say it, dude.
I don't know. I was reading an article about...
And I'm not wishing bad things upon him. I'm just thinking literally as a businessman. Think about what it costs to hire Metallica. Think of what it costs to get Globe Life Field. Think of what it costs. I'll tell you something funny. So when it was on, my mom was actually in town for Thanksgiving. So me and my mom were watching it. My wife had a friend of hers over who brought a daughter. So we were just having a little family gathering, kind of what's going on. But my wife's friend is actually hilarious. Her husband and her own a company that is into production here in Las Vegas. They do stage setups and special effects and all that. And I asked her, I was like, hey, what do you think? I was like, ballpark, what do you think that stage costs? I was like, I'm not asking what Metallica costs. I'm like, what do you think that stage and that lighting, just from what you're seeing right now? She was like, we could charge $500,000 for that easy. And I'm like, $500,000 just to set up the stage and the lighting and stuff, dude. There's no way they can be making money.
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand their obsession with Dana White specifically, because they haven't done an MMA fight since they've been around, and all they target is the UFC and Dana.
Is it just them copying the Jake Paul thing? I mean, not that Jake Paul only talks about Dana, but Jake Paul's done a lot.
He's had a lot with them. Of success. I think there's a bit of that. I think there's maybe a bit of. Like it or not, maybe this is a controversial thing to say. Dana's probably the one of the most famous and...
It's not controversial, he is. People might not like to hear it, but Dana's one of the biggest stars in the history of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, or in combat sports.
In combat sports.
And it's harder to go after a Conor or a Nate who can ignore you, whereas Dana is, not the hardest
especially
guy.
Especially when he's got a guy like Hot T to make sure and poke him at the press conference.
He's not the hardest guy to guide into saying something.
I love how he's always like, I didn't want to talk about this, but here we go.
Well, I mean, the Beatles.
Look at that, the Beatles. Dude, production value. Now, they got a little ahead of the schedule. We weren't ready to segue into the Beatles segment yet, but that is a fantastic documentary that's on Netflix right now. But anyway, continue, sir.
Well, I just think I don't know. And I do. Dana once said that, they try and reach out all the time and I ignore them. I wonder if there's a bit of that, because this Ryan Kavanagh guy, his energy does scream bitter ex-girlfriend,
Yeah, he does seem very frustrated.
I think he's going to send out a press release saying that he's pregnant with Dana's baby soon, but I don't know.
Look, I want to be clear. I'm not rooting against – look, I enjoy the product, and I'm not rooting against them. I'm not sitting here saying, they're going to fail and why do this. Dude, anything that's more opportunities for fighters to fight and get paid, man, love it.
Kevin Lee said on Ariel Helwani's show today that that Triller was one of the people interested in him. I guarantee they'll pay him more than he's made in the UFC so far.
That's a good thing. I'm just literally looking at this as a business person who in the past has been in charge of P&Ls and just saying, I see no way they're profitable. But, hey, I don't know what their model is. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the show. All right, look, this week we're covering UFC on ESPN 31, Font versus Aldo. And, guys, dude, I just want right off the top, man, the top two. I think this whole card is good, by the way. I'm really excited for this card. I'm not excited for the later. I've gotten spoiled by these early morning starts. I like when we leave the Apex and it's still daylight outside. I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's me getting old. Maybe it's me getting selfish. Then go have a Saturday night with my family. So I'm not excited about the time, but I'm excited about the card. And the top two fights especially, man, Rob Font versus Jose Aldo and Rafael Fiziev versus Brad Riddell. My goodness, man. Talk about some absolute spectacular bangers. I don't see any way those two fights disappoint. Hopefully, I'm going to knock on some wood here at Sierra Gold as I say that. Hopefully, I'm not spoiling anything, but I just don't see any way that those two fights aren't fun fights.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this card, again, this is another card that I remember overhearing somebody today that was just like, that's a really good card for an ESPN card. Like, they were due for good cards, and this is a really good one. I mean, those two fights that you mentioned, I mean, are good ones. I mean, the Maki Patolo, Dusko, how do you say it? Todorovic. Like, that's a fun fight. Jake Matthews, man, he's been around for a minute. Good to see him.
Man.
I mean, now.
Jake Matthews, Jeremiah Wells, man.
CFFC. What's the deal with Cheyenne Bays? And why is it now Vlismas?
I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. And I don't. Is it? I mean, she didn't show up to media day. We just wrapped media day. She wasn't part of it because she's on the preliminary card. Like, I'm
excited for that fight as well. I mean,
is it? Is that all right? I'm just going to. Is that appropriate to ask? Like, why did you change your name? It seems weird, right? Because it suggests that they're not together anymore.
It does suggest, I saw some pictures, but I mean, they were like that really. It was cool to see that you had a married couple that was going through and were both getting signed to the UFC at the same time.
It's cool.
They made it all about it.
Look,
you know?
I think it's a fair question, especially since it's another UFC fighter. Like, if you're just asking somebody, did you get divorced? Like, that's kind of like, what are you asking me that for? But it is another UFC fighter. But it does seem like a weird question to ask, right? Like, if she was at media day, I don't know that I would have said anything.
I bet Amy probably would have. Maybe I would have said something just and try to find a polite way to say, we noticed the name change. Is there a reason or a story behind it, you know?
I don't know. If anybody's seen it, I don't know. I mean, not like we couldn't find out, but I guess I don't care enough to reach out much.
I mean, it's somebody's single, personal life. I know you had a really fit guy, but how about a not fit guy just to throw things?
You know what would really piss him off?
Go for the fat media guy. Alonzo Menafield, William Knight. I mean,
that's going
to
be crazy.
This card, top to bottom, I mean, even when you go down to the very beginning, Luis Smoke of Vince Morales.
Bro, Mickey Gall and Alex Morono, second fight of the night?
This whole card is sick.
I love this fight.
This card is so sick.
I do love this card.
I mean.
Dude, Manel Kopp and Shaka Shamalugov, that's going to be a great fight.
Say that again. Say that twice.
I would like to say it again because I didn't say it right. Shaka Shamalugov. But, hey, the Frosty Beverage has been flowing. Look,
this card's dope, top to bottom. I mean, like.
I'll remind everybody, this came after an episode of Pub Talk, which, by the way, I did not jump on, so if you, just in case you were,
you were almost about to be.
I thought about it, but I do value my career.
Yep,
I need my paycheck, and
I mean, when you look at this card, the only thing that's missing to make this a pay-per-view caliber card is a title shot.
If you had a title fight, you could absolutely make this a pay-per-view
caliber card for sure.
Absolutely.
There's just no title.
I completely agree.
I mean, that's how good this card is. I mean, and maybe that's the whole idea for ESPN, like there's been all these fight nights and everything's been on ESPN Plus. But if there's going to be a level of a card, and there should be, I guess, some sort of a difference between what's on ESPN Plus and what's going to be on the main broadcast, I would think that the folks at ESPN, they're like, hey, you know, we're going to give you a platform, we're going to do whatever, put on the Plus, just give us fights.
Right.
But if they're going to go on ESPN proper, where they know that everybody that has access to the ESPN channel is going to see,
you got to bring the goods.
This is a good. This
you got to bring the goods.
Fucking. Perfect card.
All right, so let's talk about Rob Font versus Jose Aldo real quick. Love this fight. I think stylistically it's going to be an incredible fight. It's funny because it feels like
– that's a change in the guard card.
Here's what's funny. You're so right about that. It is absolutely a change in the guard, right? But that's what's crazy. So Rob Font is the up-and-coming contender. Jose Aldo, the champion that's been around forever and ever.
So
and all
long.
That. And Jose Aldo is like 9 months older than Rob Font.
How ridiculous
is that? How's that possible?
It doesn't make any sense. Because when you say that, you're like, okay, it's not a changing of the guard, you know, because you tend to think like, oh, the old dog, and then you got the young, hungry lion, like everybody always says. But that's just crazy. I mean, like,
it's the old dog and the old lion.
I mean, but you can't take away all those battles, that fighting. He might be not that far in age, but man, Jose's been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. But what I love about his mentality, outside the fact that I think he's hiding the fact that he understands English a lot better than most people do.
Right.
You were asking questions, and he was getting lots of recognition in his face. I was like, Jose, just speak it. Just talk to us. Talk to us. You know, this cat has been around so long, but I love the fact that he feels like he's been reinvigorated. You could see it in him.
Yeah.
He doesn't give that tired look. I've seen other fighters that are much younger that have less experience kind of have that whole like, oh, here it is, another media day, another whatever, and they're just going through the motions, and they just feel tired. I don't get that when I look at Aldo right now, you know?
You know, it's funny, and obviously we were going through a translator, and I wish it could be a direct view, but it's funny, literally, as I was driving in today to the UFC Apex, I just had these, like, stark memories of 2009 when Aldo was headlining a WC for the first time. It was at the Palms. Or at least say headlining in Vegas for the first time. I don't remember if it was his first headline or not, but it was his first time in Vegas headlining. It was at the Palms.
WEC.
It was Mike Brown. And I remember, man, I mean, in 2009, so you're talking about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
This kid was, you know, this young, early 20-year-old phenom that was tearing things up. And, like, that's like, what, I mean, in fact, that's back when we used to call him Jose Aldo, and he didn't care. He was like, Jose Klein. And then we find out later, no, it's actually Jose. But we're like, Jose Aldo literally told me to my face. I was like, is it Jose or Jose? He's like, either one's fine. I was like, all right, well, Jose, because I've never heard Jose before. That's obviously changed in the years since. But I don't know, man. It brought back these memories and asking him, man, asking him about, you know, headlining. And, dude, like the look in his eyes when he was, like, talking about how seeing his name in the marquee in Vegas. And that's when, you know, you were finding out about, you know, his upbringing, which I don't even know if everybody realized like how humble his beginnings were of like sleeping in the gym at Nobu and Yao and like not having enough money to buy a meal. So his training partners would buy like a meal for him so he could eat. Cause he was just, I mean, I don't know. It was just cool. And it's not that like Jose Aldo, Jose Aldo brought me back. It's not that Aldo hasn't been in big fights.
Jose Young's Aldo?
He's been in big fights. Who's that guy? I've never heard of him. It's not that Aldo hasn't been in big fights, but I don't know. It's just the main event in Vegas. It's been a long time since he's been that, and it kind of brought back these vibes. But you're right. He still feels fresh. But to me, and I know this may sound weird because he's coming off some fights with some very tough guys, Munoz, Cheeto. He's coming off some – but I feel like – Saturday night, I'm going to have a very clear indicator of what Aldo has left in the tank because I just feel like Aldo is going to be tested by Font, maybe in a way that Cheeto and Munoz didn't. I feel like I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, his size, Rob's size as well. I mean, it's
and
something
his output
that's
and his I feel like I'm not trying to discount Aldo. I'm not, man. Yeah. He's an MMA legend. But I feel like on Saturday night, I'm going to have a clear indicator. He still says, and I love what he said, right? He's talking about Glover Teixeira. He's like, look, if Glover just won at 42, he's like, I'm a baby in this sport, so I'm going to keep winning.
That's true.
But I do feel like I'm going to have an indicator.
Glover's reset the whole game that point. And I love that every fighter is going to him as they should. I mean, like, Glover deserves all the credit and all the kudos and everything that he's getting right now, all the accolades for what he's done. I mean, he reset the whole clock for his career, and he reset the clock for a lot of these cats. Now, I feel like with Jose, since at some point the days will be over, but, I mean, for everybody that's listening to this is going to be diehards, and I'm sure everybody already has heard stories. The story, when people look at Jose, say there's a new person that's listening to this, and somebody says looks at them and says, what's that scar on his face from? What's the story that you've heard? And I'll tell you if it's different than the story that I heard.
The story that if I remember it was he told us this directly at that same WEC scrum, And I think it was Steve Cofield, Vegas kind of media legend that asked him about it. If I remember right, it was Steve Cofield that asked about it. And he said that when he was a kid, when he was like a little kid, I believe the World Cup was on, and so nobody was paying attention, and he fell onto like a barbecue grill, basically that burned.
I had
his
heard
face.
That his sister and I and if somebody knows and can clear,
I
had heard
he
his
wrote
sister,
it to a fireplace.
Sister, so I heard, his, office, I heard right? his sister was holding him,
dropped him,
and then dropped him, and then he fell onto the grill.
All three of us are like, yeah, well, you know, these new people won't know, and none of us really actually fucking know.
But it's like it's a story that how many things do you hear about?
He
and then you think about
then,
it, and then you forget
and
about,
then you forget about it.
But like, what I always remember was that his sister was holding him, and then that he got dropped, and that his face hit the grill.
Women.
But I mean, but the idea of him just falling into a grill on his own,
crazy.
Unless it was like on the ground.
No, I think his sister
like
dropped
that.
Him or something. If I remember that. Something
along those lines.
But I remember, I think it was Steve Cofield that asked him about that in that same scrum, man. It was a cool scrum, man. It was like a really, like, 12 years. I don't know why I got those vibes when I came back. You know what else the other vibes I got?
I miss the old, all the old WEC stuff, the old Pride shit. Like, it's you know, when you see, like, a lot of those old interviews, when you see these vets that we know now, but to see them, they were literally, like, they looked like little babies. They were so young and fresh. I get the same feel when I walk down the hallway of the Apex and you look at the old tough stuff.
Yeah.
If you actually stop to, like, walk and take your time and look at the photos of the fighters.
It's amazing.
They are babies. They're all young.
Time capsule.
I mean, it is. It really, really is. You know what I mean? And it's amazing. And but it's just one of those things, you know, should there not be a diehard that listens to this story, somebody's going to see Jose fight and be like, wow, he's got a really strong scar, you know, or want to know more about these guys. But you're right, the upbringing that Jose had, I mean, like most Brazilian fighters, the upbringing that most of them have, the UFC created a whole new way of life for them, you know. And then when some of them started to see how their life could change if they were able to get picked up by the UFC or some sort of fighting organization, it was all in at that point, you know. So a lot of these... That was the only way out. I mean, like, we've been to Brazil lots and lots of times, and you understand the struggle that's there, you know. Mm-hmm. You see street vendors. You see when you're pulled up to a stop sign and you see people just out there in the crazy heat trying to shuck and trying to sell these goods that you're like, does anybody ever really buy this shit? But they're out there still trying to sell these wares. And that's just trying to survive in those places. So when you see these cats that go through some of these hard times. And I mean, like, we've been in some favelas. In the favelas that we've been into, almost it's a lot nicer than what these guys grew up in. Like,
they took us to the parts that they were okay with
that
showing.
That they were okay showing, you know? But when you find out a lot of the other areas, when you talk about when, you know, the police, like, no, we don't go in those areas. The favelas take care of themselves. You're like, holy shit, that's hardcore. So to hear that these cats go up in these sort of things and then are able to make careers and let alone become these superstars. And when you go to Brazil and you see these cats walk the streets and see the admiration from the other Brazilians and other people for what their careers have went through, what they've been able to do, how they've been able to break out of the norm. It's just amazing. I mean, like, it's not the same when you see the same sort of thing here when you just see a guy and he's like, oh, you know, I was in suburbia, but then I became a movie star. You're like, bro, but you've never fucking struggled. And then you see these cats that have had the toughest.
Class, bro. You know, it was tough,
I
was so middle class. Dude.
I mean, I only had two private schools to choose from, you know.
Like that legendary promo from Chael Sonnen where he's like, oh, they were twins. And they only had one BMW. They had to share it. You know what I mean?
Share that,
like,
car. Who gets to drive today?
So that was one of the greatest promos of all time. Hey, listen, one other thought I did have on Aldo. And this is related to nothing, but it just crossed my mind today. And I think it was because I saw Danny Segura tweet that clip of Aldo playing in a charity soccer game recently, from years ago, but he recently tweeted it. I want to see Team Aldo versus Team Habib in like a fantasy charity like soccer game, dude.
You can be as tough as you want. The Brazilians are going to have the Russians in soccer. Let's be honest.
Depends what squads they put together, but I'd love to see that. So listen, big main event, Rafael Fiziev versus Brad Riddell, co-main event. Bottom line, I'm just saying, like, I mean,
fireworks.
Banger, like, right? Just this is, I mean, there's no way this fight sucks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
They're not going to bother. Like, why go to the ground? Let's just settle this standing man to man. Let's just right here. Let's just walk to the middle because there should be a little shit talking going on, and then there's just going to be
even other buddies. They're going to have a little fun with each other.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Fazee's going to talk a little bit.
But that's the thing too. You know, like when you know somebody that closely, or even somewhat that closely, you know, but you've never went full all in. You know, it might have been one of those things that's in the back of your mind, like, you know, I've given you good. I've just never given you my best,
right.
You know. And there's going to be a moment where they both might want to just say, all right, well, let me feel your best, and I'm going to give you my best. Stand right there. I'm going to stand right here. Let's do this, you know. I mean, no playing around. I mean,
they're both early in their career. They both had multiple fight of the night bonuses.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see any way. And again, I'm gonna knock on wood here, Sierra Gold.
We've ruined
things
like that.
No
before.
Way that this fight sucks, right? I think it's gonna be.
The only thing would be is if they get too polite with each other, and if they care too much about each other that they actually can't go. I mean, we've seen I feel like we've seen fighters before that have always been they didn't let it go into killer mode. They were like, I'm going to be better than you mode, but I'm not going to finish you. Like, when we see guys, I swear we've seen guys, even when they got to the ground and pound, they could have finished it, and they stop, and they're, like, looking at the ref, like, please, please, tell me this is enough.
Yeah.
Please tell me enough, because I'm not going to keep hitting them, you know.
But these guys kind of both said they kind of just lightly sparred in the gym. I bet they're both like, nah, I'm ready to pull the trigger on you.
I think you're right.
I've been high on Fazee for a long time, dude. There's just, you know, there's certain guys that when they come in, they just have something about them that you mark them as, okay, there's talent, and then there's, oh, this guy is one to watch. So Adrian Yanez, who fought 2 weeks ago, as soon as I saw him, we saw him on the Contender Series.
He's fantastic. Man.
Wow, this guy, just something to the fluidity of their movements. And for me, Fazeev has the same thing.
Agreed.
Do I think he can be champion? I don't know. But I mean,
you're going to want to watch him fight every time.
There's just something special about the way he fights. And then it's funny because Riddell, he doesn't really give that to me, but actually, if you think about it, he's a banger of a fighter, too. I mean, it's almost a shame. I think you asked him earlier at Media Day about it's not in front of a crowd, and neither of them seem to really give a shit.
But, it would be, like, the crowd would be so
into
this fight.
Well, dude, Fazee versus Bobby Green was off the fucking chain.
Yes.
Like, that was a great, I mean, God bless Bobby Green.
It is a shame that this is at the Apex. I'm just going to say, this is one of those fights that the crowd would just
be
electric.
Just put it on next week, you know? Just, I don't know.
There's still time for COVID. No. I'm looking forward to that one. All right, listen, Clay Guida versus Leo Santos. Look, I know a lot of people are probably like, ah, so what? I'm excited for this. I'm kind of a grappling nerd. I love watching it. The wrestling of Clay Guida. First of all, let me just say, I'm a Clay Guida fan. I love that guy. That dude has been around forever. And
Only person to come to Media Day and ask us how we were doing.
You see? That's the kind of guy that Carpenter is, man. He's going to do that for you. But I am interested. You know, he says, look, I'm going to wrestle, and I don't care about Leo's jiu-jitsu. Like, I can show him. But, I mean, Clay's finally fighting somebody that's older than him, which is crazy. You know, Leo's just this insane high-level jiu-jitsu. I'm excited about this one, so I think that's going to – but Jimmy Crute versus Jamahal Hill is an absolutely sick fight. I think it's kind of cruel matchmaking. If it's a coincidence by the UFC matchmakers, it's a hell of a coincidence. They're both coming off these bizarre injuries, right? Crute, of course, with the foot injury, and Hill with the arm injury as well. Maybe it was a coincidence this got matched. But take that aside. That's just kind of the funny side of it. But two young guys, two stud prospects, two guys that I think are going to turn in a great fight. And I'm excited for this fight. And I got even more excited about it when we talked to Jamahal Hill today at Media Day. I just got to say, one of the highlights of the entire day. I loved how open he was. I love how honest he was. And I love how funny he was, to be honest with you. So here was Jamahal Hill. Jamahal, good to see you again. I guess we have to start with the arm update, right? I mean, I guess it wasn't as bad as we first thought. What was the recovery like for you?
It was dislocation. It was no breaks. It kind of just popped clean out of the socket. It's been tough, you know. Anytime you coming from an injury, especially one like that, it's gonna take some time. And me not being used to dealing with injuries, being able to do whatever whenever, you know, it was kind of hard for me. But I know I just put the work in.
Obviously, there's a physical recovery process, but I wonder, like, that moment. I mean, mentally, was there, like, panic when you – I mean, were you seeing it all and seeing what we were seeing from the outside? Maybe, like, oh, my God, what am I going to have here?
I don't know. It depends on how you were saying it. Like, what? Like, from your perspective.
It just looks. I was like, oh my gosh, there could be some real serious damage here. This guy might be out for a while.
I thought it was broke. I thought it was broken. Just based off of how it looked. Whenever it initially happened, I didn't know it happened. You know, because the armbar was tight. I mean, he pulled off a slit. You know what I mean? Smooth. He got it in there. But normally, I'm able to kind of relax, you know, kind of use my joint, little extra extension in my joints and things like that, and stacking, which is why whenever I came back up, if you noticed the part where people thought I was tapping, I was actually looking for my arm because normally my arm would be at a 90 degree angle. I have him bent at his abdomen, and I'm able to stack him and get out, but my elbow gave. So, and I didn't notice it. So, like, I'm reaching for my arm, and then I look. I'm like, oh, shit, he still got it. I was like, that can't be good. So, whenever I realized he still had it and I was reaching for it and it wasn't there, I'm like, that's probably not good. Then he rolled over. When he went for the triangle, I saw it. And that's when it kind of looked like a line, almost, like just where it was kind of not attached. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. When I seen that, the first thing popped in my head was, Did he just break my arm? Oh, I got to knock his ass out. Wasn't no thinking, oh, the fight's over, none of that. It was that 9-1 flashed in my head. It was like, oh, hell no. So I tried to do what I could to get him out of there.
That's awesome, man. All right, so, you know, obviously that was a heated buildup, right? I mean, any regrets? You know, I know you guys respect afterwards and, you know, kind of, you know, hugged it out or whatever, but any regrets at, like, all the buildup and stuff before it?
No, because I think it made for a good show. People like the face off. Like, I even watched whenever I watched the face off video, I'm like, oh shit. Cause right there in the moment, I didn't feel the tension, but from that camera angle, like, from you felt it, you know, and it was good. It was fun, you know, but yeah.
It was a good build up.
It was a good build up. But one thing though, like, as far as the elbow goes, like earlier that day, I think it was, earlier that day, my elbow was already kind of like feeling a little off. I had PT scheduled for my elbow and then I overslept and missed my appointment. So I figured I should be good. I guess make sure I don't oversleep my PT no more.
So, I mean, obviously armbar defense is the lesson, but I mean, any other, that first loss, right? Like, not fun, but that's what they say, you learn lessons, right? I mean, did you take anything out of that you're going to move forward with your career?
Yeah. Don't just – you can have the buildup. You can have all of that. But treat the fight as the fight. The fight is the fight. You know, don't be too – and respect the fight. Respect the fight. Like it got so heated between me and Paul. Like, you know what I mean? I started losing respect for him. And in that sense, I just told this to DC – in that sense, I lost respect for what he was capable of doing. You know, I could have kept it standing. That second take, that second pull down, he didn't pull me down. I went down with him. You know, it was just like, all right, now what are you going to do? You don't do that in a fight. It's not like, oh, this guy wants to punch me in the face. Hit me, bro. You're not going to do that. You know, I shouldn't have did that. Yeah. Man, I paid for it.
Good lesson. All right, so you get him, Jimmy Crute as the next opponent, right? Another highly talented guy, a lot of hype. So what did you think when this was the name that they gave you to match up with?
I said, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Especially the fact he beat Paul Craig. You know what I mean? The fact that he beat Paul Craig, the fact that he submitted Paul Craig, that offers a lot to me, for me, as a test for me and to me. So, and I want that. I want that back.
Is it a bit of a cruel matchmaking? You know, he had the weird injury with his foot as well. You had the weird injury with your elbow.
I think they set us up for the mean business. Yeah, I think they set us up for the mean business. Trust me, I done seen it all. The arm versus the leg. I think I seen a Thanksgiving Day meme. It was like, somebody passed me a wing and somebody passed me something. I've seen all types of shit. Like the internet is undefeated for a reason. But yeah, definitely though. They definitely have to do us like that.
Talk about your preparation, man. Obviously, you had to get past the arm, but I know it seemed like you had some losses in your family and friends, that you had a foot injury. I mean, has this been a tough training camp for you?
It has. Yeah. It has, physically, emotionally. Yeah.
Was there ever any thought of not, you know, pulling out and just saying maybe this isn't the right time?
Nah, that's not an option for me. You know, I got a family to feed, you know, so it is what it is. I gotta deal with what I gotta deal with, and I gotta do what I gotta do, you know. But it's definitely been one of those emotionally type things, just one thing after another, you know. But I'm here and I'm ready to go.
Nice. Last thing for me, I guess, with that said, what's the goal here, man? I mean, obviously you want to win, but do you feel like you got to prove something or, like, get some of that hype back or anything like that, or is it just getting the W?
That was what I learned in my last fight. People keep asking me what I learned in my last fight. I have nothing to prove. I don't have to prove. I'm not obligated to show people this and that. The only thing I'm obligated to show is myself and what I can do. And if me being me ain't good enough, it is what the fuck it is.
No, man. I'm just curious, after the last fight, how exactly did the beef get squashed? How did it come that you guys started getting back on better terms and were able to talk it out?
Well, as far as that, with Paul Craig, honestly, I can say it happened with Paul being Paul. You know, after the whole thing downstairs, you know, before when we got into it at the post thing, that was just a me approaching you, you know what I mean, letting you know, like, hey, yo. You dealing with a real one, you know what I'm saying? Like all that other, which later turned out to be shit that he didn't even know was said, you know what I'm saying? Which, because I looked at it like, oh, he's commented on the post. This person said it, so he had to have saw it. He just condoned it. Just mistakes on my part, you know? But after, like, I'm watching his interviews, I'm like, damn, this is actually a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, by the time we were in the cage, we're standing in the cage, I'm standing across, I'm like, I really don't dislike this dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, all right, fuck it. We're all in on it now. You know what I'm saying? But after it still could have still been that way. But after he did he got up, he won. He took his lap, you know what I mean? He took his victory lap and he came up to me and he over my ears. He said, hey, I don't know what was said, but I'm a good person. I respect you. I have nothing but love for you. You know what I mean? He showed me the type of man that he was. So it was only right for me to show that same man in return, because that's truly how I like to be and how I feel people should interact with each other. So after that, I'm like, damn. All right, bro. Appreciate you. Respect. You know what I mean? I stood up, made sure I stood there while he got his hand raised, went back, handled what I needed to handle. So I got done, right, at the hospital. I'm like, all right, cool. We get there. They're like, oh, we're going to put it back in place. We're going to sedate you. So I got that or whatever. Look up. Coach tapped me like, hey, yo, we leaving. We out. So we leave. We go get in the car, get back to the hotel, pull up to the hotel. Paul Craig's the first person I see. Paul Craig's the first person I see whenever I pull up to the hotel. And he just walks up to me with a beer. Like, here. He's like, and that's when the racist comments or whatever that were said and things. He had no idea about those. Then I seen whenever he found out about it, whenever they said something, and it was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, from there we talked, chopped it up, you know, let me buy you a beer. He told me I don't pay for beer. I don't pay for nothing. He proceeded to get me drunk as hell. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, we turned up. You know what I mean? It was fun. You know, Paul got some moves too.
I was about to say, was that
some moves? He been working on the jujitsu thing. He got a little, you know, he can come to the barbecue. Damn.
Good stuff, man. Thank you.
All right, so that was Jamal Hill. Guys, look, I'm a
Jamal
fan.
Don't ever say
don't
that,
Tom. Call him Jamahal. He will let you know that is not his name.
He will let you know that that was not
but no,
it.
You don't live, man. Not to say that I wasn't high on the guy's talents or whatever before, yeah. But just as a person now, I'm a super fan.
Yeah.
Because I will say, and look, probably part of it is, like, we all know what a good dude Paul Craig is because we've known him for years, whatever. But the energy before that last fight, it did feel like Jamal was just, like, really, like, I'm selling this. I'm going to be – I was like, bro, it's kind of unnecessary, you know. But I love the fact that he stood behind it. He said, look, no regrets, but I learned a lesson. That's why I said insightful. It's because he's dead on right there.
Yeah.
All the pre-fight stuff, everything that you do, it's fine. That's what we're looking for, right? Everybody likes that. But once you step in there, you better remember that you were selling something. Put that aside. You start thinking the guy's no good, especially – I mean, look, honestly, anybody in the UFC is damn good and dangerous, and if you slip up, you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he kind of said, look, I had kind of slept on Paul Craig a little bit. At that point, I was kind of believing the own height. He didn't say it that way, but I think that's what he means, and you can't do that. And
I love the fact that he said that when I saw my arm was broken, I knew I had to knock him out, because I know if I saw my arm broken, I would say, I know that somebody needs to come in and help me right now and get me out of here. But I don't know. To me, man, that interview today was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I just like the idea, too, of when he was like, you could say what you need to say and you could do this, but if you come up to me after the fact and just say, hey, you know, I apologize for this was whatever, he's like, you will have my respect. You know, I might not like you the most, but, you know, if you say, hey, I was just doing whatever, I will respect you as a man for coming to say you apologize or do whatever, you know. I liked his attitude about all that sort of thing. And then when he talked about how they got together after the fact, that's the shit that we love. I mean, when fighters fight,
that's
and they have
the
a dog fight,
love, man.
And then they get together and like, bro, let's go have a fucking beer, or whatever. I love that he was like, Paul's like, you will not buy a beer tonight. You will not pay for
that,
anything.
That truly is what I love about the sport.
Oh,
man. Going
so
there,
good.
That literally is it. In a nutshell.
I mean, I've got to be honest. I kind of enjoyed the thing that some people would miss out on, but when he's like, he's invited to the barbecue because of his.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah,
great moves. But no, you're right. I mean, like, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. Like, that was like, that's the shit you want to hear.
Yep.
You want to see them go out and perform as hard as they're going to go and do whatever, but then have the respect regardless if they talk the shit that they need to talk. But if they can come back mano a mano, come back and say, you know, this is what I was doing, but hey bro, let fucking all whatever, that's the past, let's go have some beers, let's go dance, let's go do whatever, and they have a good time. And I loved his attitude after that. I mean, like, he's kind of got that scary edge to him, like Jamal. He's kind of got that thing where it's like, I know if you piss him off, he doesn't look like he's going to let go of that grudge.
No.
But I like the fact that he's like, well, you know, if you're going to say something that's pissed me off, come apologize like a man, and then we good again.
Yep.
You know, like,
I love
it. And I think that's what anybody should be like.
Last thing I'll touch on with Jamal. So you heard there, I touched on it a little bit, and obviously it's audio. I think if you watch the video, you'll see a little more clear. Jamal's had a friend die, a training partner die, a former coach die. In this buildup. And so I touched on that a little bit, and you could see him kind of break a little bit.
Yeah, you almost did.
And I kind of, I don't know, I guess, and I don't know, I guess you can argue as a journalist, maybe you should have set him up there and break down, but I could just see it, and I was like, no, let's move forward.
Read the room.
He said it's tough.
You read the moment.
He said it's tough. Let's go. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he is victorious, you know,
what he says after
where
the fact.
His moves are. Now, he's got a tough assignment in Jimmy Crute, and love Jimmy Crute as well, man. You know what's funny is I started to ask you hot tea about this, and I don't know if you know, there was one day in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island where we ran into Jimmy Crute on the beach, and I think that was the first time I'd ever shook his hand. That dude has, like, Shane Carwin hands, dude.
That
it
big,
is
insane. That big.
Oh, my God, dude. I was just like, it just, like, it was so, it stood out to me. Like, I've shaken a lot of people's hands in my life. There's very few times.
That's how COVID happened.
Yeah, until COVID happened. Yeah. But there's very few times where I've like just been like, holy shit. And Shane Carwin's like one of those guys. You know, Brock Lesnar was one of Shane Carwin. Jimmy Crute at his size has like Shane Carwin hands. That dude is literally throwing sledgehammers.
It takes a lot of soap to clean him.
It's so ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, you can tell that we've done two shows back to back here. No, listen. All right, so listen, we talked about all the great things, the people, you know, moving on, letting bygones be bygones, coming together and sharing a cold beer. Let me show you the opposite side of that, and that would be from Brendan Allen, who Brendan Allen has had quite the build-up, right? He's had multiple changes in opponents. He's finally going to end up with Chris Curtis, who obviously Chris Curtis, man, quite the story that he's had as of late, you know, the funny, you know, UFC debut. In fact, Chris Curtis wasn't even there at Media Day today because he's still in the COVID protocol. He's such a late replacement that he hasn't cleared the COVID quarantine by the time we did Media Day. So we only got to talk to Brendan Allen.
You have to make sure that you have to tell him to go see the video because we saw some wonderful mullets and Brendan Allen was sporting the stash from hell.
Crute and Allen both had amazing mullets.
Allen had amazing mullets.
In fact, I actually opened the interview talking about a suit, which probably doesn't translate very well for audio.
Yeah.
But well,
you should go look at him.
You should go
just
check
for
out
the suit and just for the mullet.
So what I want you to do as you're listening to this interview is I want you to follow
I love them.
I want you to follow the path of Brendan Allen, this up and coming contender, this you know, young prospect that looks like he has a bright future ahead. As we talk about his journey and his build up, and then notice the moment that we we just mentioned the name Sean Strickland, and the entire mood changes, and then Brendan Allen delivers one of – I mean – That's a top.
That was the mullet
that's
speaking at that point. That was just the mullet.
The mullet
stash.
The stash delivers a top promo of all time. He literally.
I don't even know if his lips were moving. It was just the stash move.
Brendan Allen earned my $60.
That was pretty
for
awesome.
The rematch. And yeah, just look, I don't want to run. Listen for yourself. Here's Brendan Allen.
I feel like you know, we'll talk about fighting, but we're gonna start with the suit. I mean, that's a sharp look there. Stepping the game up for media day these days.
Thank you, man. I'm trying to be a little bit better, a little bit smoother. Thank you to Mark Russell, Custom Clothing, man. He's the best. That's best
awesome.
In the game.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's talk about how you're feeling at this point. I mean, are you feeling good about the fight happening on Saturday? Are you a little bit worried that another opponent change or something crazy could happen on the way?
I'm just happy to be fighting at this point. Ready to get the rest of the job done, cut the weight, make the weight, rehydrate, and just fight and go home. That's kind of my thing. I'm just ready to do it.
What if they came to you tomorrow and they're like, hey, we got some bad news. Chris is out, but we've got another guy. We've got another opponent.
The next opponent would be in. At this time for me, I'm pretty, excuse me, simple. When it gets to this point, I've invested so much money into the camp, into myself, into being away from my family, whatever the case may be. I have to fight. There's no, I can take a little break. Financially, I have to fight. At this point in my life, that's where it is. And I still feel I'm the best in the world, so I should be able to beat anybody. So that's why I'm here to fight, and that doesn't change.
Yeah, definitely a solid attitude. Is it challenging to keep that attitude? You know what I mean? Is it difficult to be like, oh, now we got to prepare for another guy, prepare for another style, whatever the case may be?
Sometimes it is, but then at the end of the day, I just try to remind myself, especially if I have my kids around, that it's like, it's for them at the end of the day. It's for my children. They got to eat. My wife's got to eat, so I got to eat. So this is what I do. I fight. I'm not bad at it. So, and as I said, I feel I'm the best, so I should be able to beat anybody in the world, especially when I have a camp. No matter who I'm training for, I'm in shape. I'm ready to go. Everything's sharp, so I should be able to make the adjustments if I have to and get the W.
Chris is a guy that's obviously been around for a long time. So when they came to you with the name, were you familiar with his body of work, with his style, all that?
Yeah, of course. He fought my teammate last, fought another teammates before, friends of mine before. So definitely I knew who he was and excited for it.
Yeah. He's super experienced, right? But, I mean, is there anything that he does in particular that you look at and say, man, this is a trouble spot. We got to stay away here. We got to be aware.
Not really. I feel like I do everything better than him. Obviously, there's, like everyone else, you have to be cautious. Everyone has a puncher's chance. And I feel pretty tough with any punch that I see coming, but still, you never know. So, obviously, the goal is just to make him miss and make him pay for that and go from there.
Win here, you'd have a nice winning streak. Of course, the person you had a setback to is at the top of the division now, right now. So, I mean, you pick up a win here. Do you feel like it's time for you to start getting some recognition that maybe you aren't? I mean, do you feel like maybe you're not getting the respect you deserve at this point?
I mean, I feel like it's kind of been like that kind of like my whole career. I've had some stumbles when I was younger and right in front of the bosses. So, I've had to earn my way back. But looking back now, I wouldn't change it. It made me how I am today, who I am today. So, it was necessary, per se, and I guess you could say I'm happy it happened, but I feel like there's really nothing that I haven't seen, nothing that I haven't been a part of, so I'm comfortable everywhere. I feel I'm good everywhere, mentally, physically. I'm just different, and it's still changing. I'm still evolving. I'm still getting better, and I turned 26 at the end of this month, so, you know, still a lot more to go, and I don't feel like these guys – I feel I'm cut from a different cloth. I feel like I'm just built different. And I feel that way, especially fight night. I feel invincible, especially in the back. I feel invincible. And that's a feeling that I felt these last two fights. And, you know, they've went how they went. And obviously my goal is just to get that one loss back in the UFC. That's the only one that really just sticks right in my side.
Do you keep chasing that one? I mean, do you just have to just like hope it happens, or do you keep calling the guy out and hoping that he'll take it again?
Well, I think we all know here he's not going to take it again, which, you know, if I'm being a businessman, okay, it doesn't make sense right now. Eventually the fight will make sense, and I don't know, man. He's a big talker, but to me it's a facade. And I don't like him. I don't like him as a person. I don't care for him. And I think that's what makes it real rough. And then it's just the fact that like I don't care what most people say, but some people are like, man, and when you hear it over and over, it's like you got your ass beat. I don't know what fight you watched, but I won that first round. Like, okay, judges may give it to him off of a takedown, but if you go back and really watch the fight, he didn't hit me. Like, there was one that he busted my lip when I stepped in on a jab with the last 20 seconds. Other than that, I parried his right hand the whole time, and it just gave me a brush burn. He was the one bleeding. He couldn't really walk. Like, it is what it is. But I can't think of that, you know. Eventually, it'll make sense, and that's what I'm focused on, is just me continuing to grow, get better, and eventually it'll make sense. And when that time comes, I promise I'll make headlines.
So let's say you win here, UFC comes to you and says, you're not going to believe this. We either got a title fight for you or we got Sean. It pays the same. It's the same.
Sean. I'll do it for half the money. The money's not the problem. Like, when we heard Strickland pulled out, I literally text Mick and was like, I'll fight him and still fight Brad the next month. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a man first. And when you disrespect me as a man, okay, well, unless we have a contract, keep the same energy out here. Like, don't tell me you're building hype or you're doing this or you're doing that. At the end of the day, I'm a man. I'm not going to disrespect you as a man unless I really want to fight you. If I really want to fight you and I really want to hurt you, I'm going to disrespect you as a man. That's just, I don't talk about people's families. I don't talk about their religion. You know, I don't talk about those things. To me, those things are off limits unless you really have a problem. And he crossed those lines, and I feel like he's crossed those lines for many other people. But for me, I'm just, like I said, I'm different. I feel like I was raised from my father's real old school and real Southern, and he rubs off on me, I guess. I guess that's where I get it from, but I feel that way. Like, what I say in these interviews, what I say to anyone, I mean that. It's not me talking shit. I'm not talking shit. That's what I believe. At least at that moment, I believe that. Could it change? Of course. If he come up to me and said, I apologize for what I said about your kid, things like that. The beef is squashed. Do I have respect for him? I have more, because you come up to me as a man and apologize. But I don't have, like, the ultimate respect for you at that point. But I have more respect, and the beef is squashed at that point. Do I want to fight you again? Of course. But it's not like it is right now, where it's like, if I see you and you say something kind of reckless to me, we're fighting. Or if you even give me a look, we're fighting. And I don't care about the repercussions. I don't care about the penalties. I don't care about none of that. It's not about that to me. That's just how I am. I at some points, I wear my emotions on my sleeves when you talk about certain things to me. So that's just how I am. It is what it is. I'm me. I don't change for nobody.
Well, you've convinced me. I want to see this rematch now. We need to get it done. Obviously, right now, though, you got Chris. So last thing I'll ask, I mean, you know, obviously the goal is a victory, but, I mean, do you feel like you need to make some kind of statement, you know, show the world something, like get this respect that's kind of eluded you a little bit?
No, man, I don't really care. You know, I feel like I'm a top 10 guy. I've tried to get top 10 guys. I've had two opportunities at top 15 be taken from me from something outside of my control. And, you know, at this point, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going out here to prove something. I'm going out here to win. I'm going out here to get two checks and finish you. I'm coming to finish every time. And as long as I get this win like I plan to, you know, I hope to see Darren Till next year. That's the one I'd really like. So that's my plan. But obviously my plans don't mean really too much if they don't line up with, you know, the matchmaking. So hopefully that's in the cards. Like I said, I've been right there at top 15. I've beat really good guys. I've beat the toughest guys that I could get my hands on. And I don't see why not, you know, to me, but it's not up to me.
All right, so it was, to be clear, Kokovi, it was not Brendan Allen. It was the stash, or was it the mullet, or were they working in tandem?
It was in tandem. It's like arms and legs. It's like the arms and legs just working together. The lips were just following along.
Wow. I'm just imagining like a cartoon character, literally just like a mullet and a stash. But no, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Dude,
I'll be honest with you. So I often feel bad about even bringing up the name Sean Strickland in front of Brendan Allen because, like, I'm like, dude, you have to be tired of it. You have to be like, stop asking this question. No, he's not tired about it. He's not tired about it. Yep. He wants to make that fight happen, and I'm telling you, cut promos like that. Talk, you know, and you know, I shouldn't even say cut promos because exactly what he said. I'm just being real, and I'm telling you the way I feel.
Yep.
And I think maybe that's why I'm so, like, I want to see this fight because it's not a promo. It's not just – it's like, dude, when you talk like that, I want to see you two guys throw hands.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. I think we throw out that term a lot because we're like, oh, cut a promo when the guy's just like, I'm going to say what you need to get the clicks or whatever. Right. But then there's something different. The guy's like, no, I want that back. I want that back. I want that fight. You could take half the damn paycheck. Like, just make it happen. Like,
he didn't even let me finish the question.
I know.
Like,
he was
Sean,
pumped.
I want Sean.
And there's something different, you know, when you think – And there's nothing wrong with, like, what we say. Oh, he's cutting a promo. He's saying all the things we want to hear. And then there was that time when you see it and you're just like, wow, there was some real – there's something real nasty and simmering under the surface just ready to explode. That's not even under the surface. He was just full on – that was lava overflowing. That was lava overflowing. Like, it had already exploded or something. But, yeah, I mean, that is – that's fantastic. I mean – And good for him. I mean, like, that's the one he wants. And if he's like, I love that. Was it you that asked that? What he wanted more, a title or that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That he wouldn't even let me finish the question.
How crazy,
Sean? Yeah,
Sean. Sean, and that just goes something. I mean, like, so many times we have these fighters, you know, where it's like they have these records, and we think that obviously the titles, this and that, and like it would be stupid for us to think that they would want anything else but a title shot.
He's like, nope.
No, this shit is real and personal. This is real. These are real emotions. Like, the emotions that these guys have to – I can only imagine going into these fights and what you have to put yourself into. And then when something doesn't go the way you want it to, you're willing to give up everything to get that back. And this was the case of that where he's like, I don't care about the goal that I've been working towards. I want this more.
That's intense.
I want to hurt this person.
That's intense. That's intense. I'm down for that. Main card kicks off with Brian Barberina versus Darian Weeks. By the way,
that's cool.
We also didn't get to see Darian Weeks either. He's also still in COVID-19 protocol, so he wasn't there for media day. We did get to speak to Brian Barberina, who, of course, is always fantastic.
He's
and
good, dude.
I love talking to that guy. So
you didn't bring up his nails.
I know. I can't
they
go back to the well every time.
That's true.
Back to the well. We told the story. His daughter picks out his nail colors.
Love
it's
it.
Cool.
They're fun.
But I feel like we shouldn't go back there every time. All right. Listen, I think it's going to be a good card. I think it's going to be fun. Definitely worth checking out. So, you know, we'll be there. Actually, I'll be there.
I
will not. I'll be in the back. Yeah, so I'll throw it. Yeah, so I'll be there.
Hot
with,
will be
you
there.
In the back.
I mean, I don't have to do anything because John's going to – oh, wow. I just heard myself
talking.
Right, I was
be
right,
in the back.
Oh, God, I've had too many drinks to have drinks.
And if you'd like to see Pub Talk and see where this started.
Great. I've been editing an audio – well, a podcast – without listening to the audio, just based on the spikes in the audio levels and the way our mouths are moving. I mean,
so
this
it
guy,
may be absolute trash by the time you publish
well,
it.
Well, I had to cut out.
It's a fantastic looking show.
All right, listen, check out Pub Talk. It's a fantastic show.
Thank
it's
you.
A complete ripoff of the MMA Road Show, but I'm not. It's okay. It's okay. You volunteered enough of your time for the MMA Road Show.
Thank you for letting me. Oh, wow. I'm pretty fucking hammered, dude. What happened there?
What happened?
Amazing. He can no longer speak English. That's what Pub Talk does to you. We'll have this thing covered. Cold coffee. Safe travels.
I appreciate that.
I will certainly see you next week for UFC 269.
That.
I will have the and a half episode 69. For Patreon.
Oh, good lord.
We're definitely wrapping this one up now. Let me just do that. Thanks for listening.